to have some nice weather for once, isn't it? And especially for February, it's like walking outside and you can wear shorts and a t-shirt. At least if you're a teenager, that's what you think you can do. I mean, I don't know about the rest of us, but I'm glad that you all are here this morning. I know we're missing some people this morning. Maybe they're enjoying the nice weather. Maybe they're getting ready for the Super Bowl. I'm sure there's lots of parties that are going on tonight, but I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I want to just take a quick moment and say thank you to Pastor Charlie for allowing me to share this morning. I also like to take a few moments to kind of boast upon him. I have the pulpit, so I get to do that, so that's fine with me. But I think we're pretty lucky to have Pastor Charlie, especially over the last couple of weeks. The Strongholds message has been a fantastic series. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. I know we've gone over a lot of different things. We went through sex, we went through finance, we went through the lies of strongholds and the truths of strongholds. And this morning we're going to realistically dive back in to that, and I'm going to hopefully finish this series. And as he's mentioned each week, we all have a stronghold in our life that we struggle with, right? Except for me. No, I'm just, I obviously have strongholds too. We all do. We don't like to share what those strongholds are with other people, but we all have a stronghold. It may be something what some other people would think is simple, but it's difficult for you, right? And we started in with the foundational scripture. We started this with each week. Let's bring it back up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have a divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive of every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The simple definition of a stronghold is anything that won't let you go, or I added to it, you won't let go. Okay? That's the thing with strongholds is that sometimes it's not just that they won't let go of us. Sometimes we have a hard time letting go of them, right? And it goes on to say, take every captive thought to the obedience of Christ. So as pastor has stated over the last month, how do we defeat strongholds? We take captive of the way we think, right? Take captive the way we think. That's the reason it says, in the Word says, to renew your mind daily to the things of God is because we have to renew our mind daily to Him, because if we don't, we find ourselves captive to these other things of the world, right? So we make Jesus the Lord of every thought, and Pastor has shared that strongholds in the Greek is okurama, which means a prisoner locked by deception or anything on which one relies. What is sad is that we live a life under this lie, thinking we are trapped by these strongholds, but we're not really trapped. That's what we think. We think we're trapped, but realistically, a lot of the time, we've trapped ourselves. We kind of tell ourselves in our mind that realistically, there's no way we can do anything about this. There's no way we can stop drinking. There's no way we can stop smoking. There's no way we can stop doing drugs. There's no way we can stop looking at pornography. Whatever the case is, we tell ourselves that because that's our out. That's really what it comes down to. And a lot of the time we try to think to ourselves, well, what's our out to getting out of these things? And the thing is we give ourselves an out to stay in it. Okay? So this morning I'm going to continue on this series and talk about the stronghold of fear. And I feel like God kind of has laid this on my heart. I don't usually share on this type of stuff. So he's going to have to speak through me because I don't always have the words. I don't believe this morning you're here by accident by any stretch. You're not here because this is your church. You're not here because you're not here because somebody just invited you. I think God has something specific for you this morning. And I think realistically, all of us somewhat have a fear stronghold in our lives, right? So this morning, let's turn to 1 Samuel. Now, most of us have read 1 Samuel, I don't know how many times since we were little kids. We all know the story of David and Goliath, right? We've read the story since, I think that was one of the first probably Bible stories my parents read to me, because it's the most common thing we can share with our kids that they catch on to really quickly, right? But this morning, I'm going to try to bring it about in a different way, and let me give you a little bit of background so that you kind of see where we're coming to this morning. In chapters 15 and 16, realistically, Samuel, he goes to the house of Jesse, and he goes through all the sons of Jesse, and he comes to David, who was out actually in the flock. He wasn't even there with him, because Jesse would have never thought he would have been the one called. He calls him in, and he anoints him that he's going to be king of Israel. So we go to chapter 17. So that's kind of the backstory to it. And realistically, nothing's been done yet. Okay. Saul is still king at this point. So there's nothing that's been done as of yet. But in chapter 17, let's start with verse 4. It says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out? Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you are servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then this will be all over," is realistically what he's saying. "But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you should be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The first lie I want to talk about this morning of a stronghold of fear is you're not powerful enough. That's the first lie of the stronghold of fear. You don't have the power. Goliath was a champion. He was bred for realistically war. Okay? He was 6 cubits and a span tall, which would put him at about 9 feet 9 inches tall. Just a little taller than me. His armored coat weighed 5,000 shekels of brass, which weighed about 78 pounds. He had brass on his legs and his shoulders. His spear, which scholars say was between 14 to 20 feet long, had a spearhead that weighed 15 pounds itself. Just the spearhead. They say that the spear probably weighed anywhere between 45 to 60 pounds. And here Goliath stands each day yelling at the children of Israel to come fight with him. Some of you may be asking, well, what does this have to do with strongholds? The truth is, some of us have built strongholds in our mind to be like Goliath. We've made our strongholds to be a giant that looks impenetrable. We act like the army of Israel in verse 11. It says, we see this giant in front of us and we become fearful of it. I know all of us have felt this way at some time or another, right? I know I'm not the only one. You should shake your head like this. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's okay to talk a little bit in church. You know, we hear it all the time as pastors. We hear, well, I can't quit smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop looking at pornography pictures. I can't get out of debt. I can't do any of these things. And what you're saying is your stronghold is too big for you. That's what you're saying. Or it's too big for God. This is a lie from the enemy. He wants you to feel inferior. He wants you to feel small. He wants you to think that there's no way that you can defeat me. No way. He even challenges you like Goliath did. He challenges you to come out and fight him. You don't have the power to get through this. Most of us this morning are like the armies of Israel, sitting there ready to fight the battle. We're there. We're on the battlefront. We talked about it in 2 Corinthians. We're already waging a war, guys. So we're here. We're on the battlefield. The thing is we see what's across the area there, the valley, and we're like, I'm good. You know, we'll stay on our side. You stay on your side, and we'll just leave it at that. And the truth is that's not how it works. The enemy's always moving forward. They're right there in front of us. But like I said, when the giant comes, we stay where we are instead of moving forward ourselves. God wants so much more from us. He has a purpose for your life. And no matter who you are, how old you are, how short or tall you are, God has given you the power to defeat these Goliaths in your life. The enemy uses what we see and what we hear to bring fear into our lives. I find it interesting in the word that he gives a full description of Goliath, okay? He says how tall he is. He says what he's wearing. He even calls out the fact that there has to be a person that brings out his shield with him. He says how heavy the spear is. He points out everything that he looks at, and that's because realistically what we see with our eyes affects our mind. And in verse 11, it says, they heard these things, so they heard what Goliath said, and they were in fear. The enemy is not stupid. The enemy knows how to get to your mind, and it's through your eyes and through your ears. He knows what it is. He knows what your strongholds are. He knows that if he can put those things in front of your eyes or in your ears, that there's a chance that you stumble. So with every lie, there's a truth. So let me give you the first truth this morning to defeat that lie. Is we are filled with God's power. All of us have heard this. Nobody has not heard this before, right? If you're a believer, you've always heard that, okay, we have the power of God inside of us, right? So then why don't we act like it? It's just a question. All of us have no problem saying those things, but the problem is we have a problem living those things. Right? Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's that leaves no doubt, right? There's no doubt. He will give us the power over the power of the enemy. It says, and over all the power of the enemy. No doubt, right? No question involved. Matthew 10, 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all the manner of disease. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. See, he did not want us to live in fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and the most important part is a sound mind. That's what he's given us the most. That's where it really is. Okay? He's given us a sound mind. The word power there in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis power. Which means it's force, miraculous power, mighty strength, and powerful and mighty works. That's the type of power he's given us. That does not sound like we're too small for the strongholds, does it? In fact, those three scriptures pretty much say, I have given you the power that can't be matched by the enemy at all. That's the mentality that we're supposed to have. Is that no matter what the enemy throws at me, I have something that's way more powerful than that. I have dunamis power that God's given me that he can throw anything he wants at me. In fact, I'm challenging him because I'm going to defeat him. I'm going to go move forward. I'm going to move forward against the enemy. I'm no longer going to sit where I am, but I'm going to move forward against this thing of fear. And I, being in the military myself, I know what that's somewhat like. I've seen it. And you guys have probably, if you've ever been in the military, you've maybe seen it too, or you've seen it in the movies, is this when a firefight happens, you can't find yourself stuck behind a vehicle shaking. That's not an option. Because if you do that, you're probably dead. What do you see when an army attacks another one? That's when the other ones flee, right? And that's really what God calls us to do. He tells us to attack the enemy by the power he's given us so that we can defeat the enemy and move him back. And not find ourselves shaking behind a hill waiting for the enemy to come up over the hill and attack us. I lost my spot now. Sorry. This power only comes through God, and the enemy is right in this. If you fight this stronghold on your own, you will be defeated. It's true. You try to fight the stronghold on your own, the enemy's right. You will be defeated. But we are not alone. We have God fighting with us, giving us the power to overcome even those things that seem impossible to overcome. I always try to tell my children, I try to explain to them, I'm like, there's no small prayer that God doesn't care about, and there's nothing too big that God can overcome in your prayers. And that's really the thing we have to think about. So many times, you know, we just got done with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we had cards that were like, you know, up to about here, and of cards that we're praying for. And the thing is we actually asked the children to put their prayer requests on there because God cares about every single one of them. Yes, even their cats and their dogs. I mean, we prayed for those things too, because God cares about all those things. But there's nothing. We saw cancer. We saw finances. We saw all these issues that people are dealing with. And it's like, okay, well, they all bow down to the name of God, right? In fact, in 1 John 4:4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." All of us love that verse. What it's pretty much saying is the devil is subject to our God. See, the thing with strongholds is we gave you the simple definition of the fact it's holding you or you're holding on to it, and we find ourselves subject to that stronghold. But the truth is what God's saying is the enemy is subject to me. You have nothing to worry about. He actually trembles and flees from God. He already lost to God once. That only lasted about a millisecond, as he was casted from heaven as lightning. And anytime you align yourself with God, you serve, then you become just as victorious as God was over the devil. It can happen just as that fast. The thing is most of the time we don't allow it to happen. So David's dad sends him. We'll continue. David's dad sends him to take food to his brothers that are on the battlefield. And when David gets there, Goliath comes out and challenges them again. David hears the men start saying, whoever defeats Goliath would even have the king's daughter. That's probably what pricked his ears up, I think. And no taxes on his household. David starts saying, how dare this Philistine defy the armies of the living God? And he continues to talk to the men, and it gets to King Saul, so he summons David. So let's start back in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. It says, and when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with Philistine. Guys, this is what's amazing to me. Here's King Saul. Okay, he's king. He hears what this little boy is saying. He's in so much fear himself, he actually calls a little boy to him. Think about that for a second. That tells you how much fear there was, that you would call a little boy because he's challenging Goliath. That should say something right there. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Let me give you the second lie this morning. You are a nobody. That's the second lie from the enemy, is you're a nobody. To me, this is one of the biggest strongholds of fear. I believe everybody has been in this category. Who do you think you are? We say to ourselves. How many of us has said something like that to ourselves when somebody has asked us to do something or God's called us to something? We're like, who am I? I think we all have at some point or another. And Saul says, you can't fight this man who is trained for battle, and here you are as a youth. And hear me this morning, if you are a youth or a child in here this morning, it doesn't matter how old you are, God still has a purpose for your life. Sometimes I think even adults, we put children at this level that they're here and we're here. And the matter of the fact is God's called them to a purpose just as much as he's called you. And it doesn't have to wait till they're an adult to start feeding into that purpose. That's good. The truth is we either hear from somebody else or we even say it ourselves at time, because some of us feel like we are a nobody. And guess what? You're in good company. All of us have done it. Moses even did it. He did it at the burning bush. God says, go do this. And Moses is like, but who am I that I should go and do this? Okay, so you're not alone. I understand. The enemy knows if you feel like you're worthless, that you will never rise up to the higher levels that God's called you to. You will never reach your purpose. Part of the reason some of us are struggling in breaking strongholds is we have not identified who we really are in Christ. We haven't identified it. We say, well, I gave my life to Christ and that's it. I guess I'm good to go. You have to identify who you are when you've given your life to Christ. We are seeing in today's world where our country is falling further and further away from God. We're seeing the schools completely remove Christianity, yet teach all other sorts of religions. We're seeing where now people can decide what bathroom they want to go to. And I'm not trying to get political, but the truth is we're falling further away from God. We're even seeing countries kill Christians around the world, being hunted down in areas like Syria, Iran, China, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other countries are being, they're being put to death because they've given their life to Christ. ISIS has even specifically stated that they will kill anybody who professes to be a Christian unless they change to Islam. Hear me this morning. We are seeing a culture shift, and it has been happening for a long time, but it's getting worse. We see it, we hear it every day, and the enemy wants you to feel like you are a nobody. He wants you to feel like there is nothing you can do about it. Not only does the enemy want you to feel like a nobody, but he wants to rename you. He wants to rename you. I've shared on this before, but I love this thought. As we all know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what we know them as. But did you know that they actually had, Daniel was his real name, but did you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was not their first names? In fact, at that time when they were taken over, they took the most handsome men and the most intellectual people and they put them in the king's court. And it says that the first thing that the king did was he changed their name. It was the first thing they did. Daniel, the Hebrew's name, meant God is my judge. I answer to God and God alone. They renamed him to Belteshazzar. It means lady, protect the king. They were trying to change the focus from God to men. Hananiah meant Yahweh has been gracious. They named him Shadrach. I'm fearful of God. They're trying to change the focus from God is good to God is bad. Mishael, who is what God is? Basically means there is nobody like my God. I am in awe of him. They changed his name to Meshach. I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. They're trying to change the focus from confidence to cowardice. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped. Yahweh is an endearing term, and it is saying God is personal to me, that he has helped me. They changed his name to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, just another god of them. And that is the enemy's ultimate goal, is to change your focus from son or daughter to slave. This is what the enemy does. He wants to rename you. Hear me this morning, you are not a failure. You're not worthless. You're not what the world keeps telling you you are. You know who you are? It's our truth. If you could go there, you're a child of the one true king. That's your truth. You have to identify to that. If you don't identify that to that, you can't break a stronghold of fear. I promise you. You can't. You have to identify who you are in God. You are the sons and daughters of the one true Father who loves you no matter what you've done. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." You are not a nobody. In fact, you are a child of God. In fact, you're an heir and an heiress with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." That's who you are. That's what you have to catch on to this morning. Know your identity. Know who you are in God. You are a child of God, and God has called you to a great purpose, no different than David. We bring up David, we bring up Moses, Noah, all these different things, but God's called you to a great purpose as well. It may not be to go face a physical giant, but he has called us to great things, not because of who you are, but who God is inside you. It is tough to be in fear when you know who your father is. My kids know that I'll protect them from anybody. I don't care who you are, how strong you are, I'm taking you out. It's the truth. My kids know that. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. I could take on anything because God has allowed it. Verses 36 through 37 says, "Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you." Catch that this morning. David says, he killed a lion, bear, and Goliath. Philistine will just be like him. But here's the key part in verse 37. It said, the Lord who delivered me. The Lord delivered me. It wasn't David. The Lord delivered me from these things. He delivered me from the lion, the bear. He'll deliver me from Goliath. He knew who his father was, and he knew that God was with him and was going to protect him. So we all know Saul has David put on this armor, and David says he can't fight him. That's another message on its own, right? Because as we read in 2 Corinthians, we don't use normal weapons. God is unconventional, all right? We all know the story. He goes to the brook, picks out these five stones, and takes his slingshot. And I want you to hear this morning what the next lie is. And I hope if you get nothing else this morning, I hope you get this on what this third lie and third truth is. The third lie is it can wait. I can do it later. You want to know why New Year's resolutions don't work, in my opinion? We start thinking about New Year's resolutions in December. We're like, January 1st is when I'm going to start that diet. So we eat like crap all through December, and then we get to January 1st. It's like, well, what's one more day going to matter? And another day, and another day, and then we wonder why we're 40 pounds overweight, right? I'm a good example of that. But that's one of the reasons is we always say to ourselves, well, it can wait one more day. I can stop smoking. I'll start tomorrow. I can stop drinking. Oh, next week's a good time to start. The problem is we think to ourselves, well, until January 1st, I'm going to eat a Whopper a day. And then January 1st comes, we're not mentally there. We're not mentally ready to take it on. We back off from it because realistically, our mind's not set. It's the same thing when we're talking about strongholds, especially fear. We talked about it at the beginning. The definition of stronghold is something that won't let you go, but it's also something we don't let go either. Some of you have said, I'm going to stop smoking or drinking, or I'm going to start budgeting my finances next week, but it doesn't come, and I'll tell you why. The last truth is breaking a stronghold is, we read it in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 49 says, "Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." You want to know what is the truth? We'll go to the truth here. It says, this day. This day. You want to defeat a stronghold this morning? It's time that you start saying this day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next January 1st. It's this day. I've read this chapter, I don't know how many times as a little child and as growing up, but at the beginning of 21 days of prayer and fasting during my study time, God spoke to me and said, this day. You want to break through strongholds, it's about time we start saying this day. It's about time we start saying, this day I will stop drinking. This day I will stop smoking. This day I'm going to start budgeting my finances. This day I'm going to stop looking at pornographic pictures. This day is when it starts. At some point, you have to understand that this day is when it starts. This is where we're drawing the line. The enemy no longer has control. I'm taking control from here on out. And I'm allowing God to move me forward. It's on us, though, to say that. Our God is a God of today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As I asked Chris to come forward, he can't change yesterday. Yesterday's gone. He does not want to wait for tomorrow. He wants to change your life today. To God, it's all about today. He wants to see your strongholds broken. He wants you to open up your heart to him. Again, I understand it's easy to kick the can. It's easy. But at what point do we start giving God the power and say, God, you work through me. You've called me a child. You've called me an heir. So God, today I lay it all at your feet. We can no longer allow fear to hold us back from the purpose that God has placed inside of us. Allowing fear to hold us back will only stop you from doing the many things God's called you to. As we said before, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. See, fear paralyzes us, right? But see, God propels us. That's really the truth. Let me say that again. Fear paralyzes us, but God propels us. Finally, David says, this day, the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. David did not say, I'm going to defeat you. But he said, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Strongholds are not easily broken because we think we can break them ourselves. We think we can do it on our own. But the truth is our power, it all lies within him. Lies in the one who made us, who created us, who actually had a purpose for you before you were even born. All we have to do is allow him to deliver those strongholds into our hand today. Everybody would bow their heads, close their eyes. Father, I love just calling you Father even. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you shared this morning on just defeating fear, Lord. And as we're finishing up on this series of strongholds, Lord, I pray over each and every single person here this morning. I don't know what their strongholds are, and they don't know what mine are, but Lord, I pray, Lord, that today we're making the decision to no longer allow these strongholds to rule our lives. That today we're saying, you've given us the power to overcome these things, that I am a somebody, that you've called me a child of yours, Lord, an heir and an heiress. That's who I identify with. We look to you, Father. I know I can't do it on my own, and neither can anybody else here, but Lord, with you, all things are possible. You're able to overcome all things. It doesn't matter what it is, everything falls and bows at the name of Jesus. So those lies from the enemy, those things from the enemy, they no longer hold control of us today. I never want to leave without the opportunity for somebody to know Christ this morning. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Maybe you felt that way this morning. Maybe you felt like you're a nobody. Maybe you felt like you didn't have the power to do anything. Maybe you've kept on kicking the can down the road and said, you know what, I'll give my life to Christ at a different time. There's nothing better than today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I don't say that out of fear. I say it's just the truth. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today, you have the decision to make. Today, you have the opportunity to allow God to come into your life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you think it was. It says that he wipes out all those things. He makes them as far as the east to the west. It's as if it's forgotten. All he's asking you to do is to give your life to him. I'm going to ask you this morning to even just to take just a step of faith. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not here to embarrass you. But if you've never given your life to Christ and you want to do that this morning, I'm just going to ask you real quickly, anybody at all, to just raise your hand, put it back down. Anybody at all? We're all believers this morning, so I'm just going to finish up with prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would just remember that. Remember who we are and who we identify with you, Father. That we are your sons and daughters, Lord, that nothing can overcome you, Father. I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you guys get something out of the word this morning, I hope? All right, awesome. Well, let's go ahead and take offering this morning if the ushers could get ready. And this morning is also a mission offering. It's the first Sunday of the month. So making sure that if you want to give to missions, you can give to missions this morning. And you just can earmark it or whatever on your check or whatever. And if you're new here this morning, we're not expecting you to give. We're just glad that we have the opportunity to share with you this morning. So ushers, if you want to come forward. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that you are the provider of all things, provider of our finances, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are already preparing us, Lord, for our new church, Lord, for our new land. You're already paying for it, I believe, Lord. I believe that we will be building and it'll be debt-free. And I pray, Lord, that you're blessing each and every single person here this morning as they give. And, Lord, let it be shaken and put back together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As they're taking offering, I'm going to just give a couple quick announcements. Just a couple reminders. Number one, we have the Valentine's Banquet Winter in Wonderland. There's a table set out up front. Make sure you stop by the table. Get some seats or a table. I know last year was a great time if you were here. I'm expecting it to be a good time. I think they're having a magician comedian come this year. That sounds like an awesome time. I know the magician last year was really good, so you'll want to come to that. Number two, who's already started inviting people for Easter? Wow. Whew. It's about time then, I guess I bring it up. Easter's not that far away, right? Start putting it on your calendar. Start inviting somebody now. Here's my thing. If you invite them now and they don't have anything on their calendar, right? If they put church on their calendar, now they have something on their calendar, okay? They can't say, well, I've got some other plans if you ask them now, okay? So make sure you're inviting people. We're expecting a lot of people. We want to see lives changed, guys. This is our opportunity to invite people who don't know God. So make sure you're already inviting people for Easter. Small group launches next week. And hopefully you all are excited about that. I know I am. So make sure you're coming next week. Join a small group. And then the last thing, if you guys want to all stand, Pastor Charlie will be back next week. The last announcement I have is go Chiefs.